again, and welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, where, as always, the focus is on connecting business to grassroots sports and charities, both here in the UK and indeed around the world. This is Tony Rice, and joining me now is Koi Sports member Beverly Sankey from Bev Sankey Healthy Living. Bev, hello, welcome to Koi Sports EIC Grassroots Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, Tony. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak here. I'm not very experienced on these podcast things, so I shall take your lead.
And we'll treat you nice and gently, Bev, and as I say, consider it a nice, fun experience and just basically a chinwag, quite frankly. Bev, with that in mind, I'm always really curious to get to know the people that I'm speaking with. First and foremost, you know, I want to salute you. We really appreciate all of our members. You guys are absolute salt of the earth, doing amazing things. But yeah, if you could just give me a little bit of an introduction to yourself, if you don't mind.
Well, I came across Koi Sports, and I'm not sure how far back you want to actually go. But essentially, I began my health and wellness journey over 25 years ago because I had ME for over 12 years. So I embarked upon research to try and get myself better because I found that the establishment in terms of the sort of NHS weren't equipped in how to deal with fibromyalgia and ME at that time. So it's been a long journey, basically, and I did hear somebody speak about the fact that it's like a pain to purpose story. So that's exactly what mine was. And I just decided that I wanted to document it. So about 10 years ago, I came across the company that I work with now, which is called Arbon. And it's a 40-year-old company of health and wellness products that are all vegan. So even the cosmetics and the skincare are vegan and gluten-free as well. So for me, it was like a dream come true because I'd spent lots of time sifting through health food shops,
right?
Which in those days were very, you know, very sort of like drab places of dried food and dried herbs. And, you know, there's nothing interesting about it really. But in terms of trying to sort myself out an exclusion diet and try and eliminate everything that might be causing the inflammation in my body, you know, I had to do this. So I had to cut out yeast, processed sugar, wheat, obviously alcohol, all of the things that now I coach people on how to do within the 30-day program, which is the Arbon program. So it was like the meeting of, you know, of me with an established company that already knew about all of this and that was, you know, creating a nutrition program that that made it simple and easy for people to follow. So it was fantastic. I could, you know, follow a gluten-free diet and use all of these products, and they just basically supplemented me transforming myself through and getting my gut healthy, because I do believe it's all about the gut. You know, 70% of our immune system resides in the gut, so it makes, you know, absolute sense, doesn't it, that that's something that we need to make a priority in terms of taking control of our own health. And so I'm very passionate about trying to help people to see that what they put on the end of their fork is going to have an outcome, whether it's a positive or a negative outcome.
There's the old one, isn't there? But we do seem to forget it. And goodness knows, I'm no paragon of virtue, but we are what we eat, they say. Isn't that, I guess,
It's a very good saying, that, because for years and years I you know, heard that and I agreed with it. But I've since learned that it's more about what you absorb. So you can eat, and this is what I used to do. I used to eat like loads. I used to eat more than most people and never put on any weight. And I thought it was like a bit weird. And I've since realized that that's because if your gut is in a bad way and it's inflamed, you've only got like 5% of the absorption surface area to absorb the vitamins and minerals that are in the food that you eat. And then combine that with the fact that the food is depleted in terms of nutrition through glyphosates and, you know, the processing that it goes through. There's very little nutrients that are in the processed food that most people eat anyway. So you put the two things together and you can quite simply see that you're only absorbing about 5% of what you should be absorbing.
That's so absolutely fascinating. There really is a very deep science to all this, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Obviously, you were there 25 years ago going on this kind of voyage of discovery. I would imagine things have improved, but I would also feel as though there's certain confusions and kind of myths out there. How would you trace the progress being made, and what more still needs to be done, do you think, Bev?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I wouldn't see it as progress, because I literally was sent an article last night that I was reading about the steep increase in autoimmune dysfunction and problems in our Western societies. And, you know, they were looking at it saying, well, we can't stop people eating fast food, so we're going to have to look at a way that we can treat this. And this is something, you know, that I find very frustrating, because our ethos within Arbonne is prevention. Mm-hmm. It's not cure. It's completely the opposite. So it's more of an Eastern approach.
Yes.
In the East, the medicine that they use is about is more of an Ayurvedic way of looking at treating the symptoms. So it's about getting to the root cause and finding out what is the problem, as opposed to finding out the problem and what do we do to cure it. It's the wrong way around.
It's very much cultural element, isn't it, where we are almost always looking here. And I hate to generalise, but it does seem to be the case that we're always looking for these quick fixes. When it seems that certainly when it comes to health, well-being and diet, that it's almost a much more of a holistic way that we need to appreciate and cultivate.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is progress.
Encourage and educate from a younger age, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I completely, you know, blame the education system for so much. And that is one of the major things. I think I might be wrong, but I don't think that they do the basic subject of domestic science that they did when I was a kid. And even then, it was like limited. But then as my children went through school, I started to realize that it had been, you know, phased out. So kids are not being taught how to, you know, treat food as fuel. And their parents now don't know either. So it's, you know, whereas I was brought up in the 60s and 70s, my grandparents and my parents, we ate, you know, meat and three veg. It was very simple. It was very basic. But then, of course, you know, we got into the 80s. And my mom was like one of these, 1960s housewives where frozen peas, you know, were a great invention in microwaves. So they all kind of got out of the habit that their parents taught them of baking and cooking. Mm-hmm. And also people were going out to work, because the whole 80s thing was about high achievement, and women were supposed to go out to work because we couldn't exist on one salary.
Sure.
And because there was all these, you know, modern inventions, everybody wanted this, that, and the other. So it needed two incomes to support one single family.
I said greed fuels greed, it seems.
In a way, I don't see it as being the greed initially that was the problem. I think it was the throwaway society. Yeah. So in with that comes plastics. Mm-hmm. In with that comes the rise of the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of control that's going on that's because of big business and profit. Mm. So you've got that in the food industry as well. Yeah. So, you know, when you look at what a lot of people are eating, it's very concerning. And so, you know, that for me, coupled with the glyphosates and the pesticides that have been blasting, you know, across all of the fruit and vegetables that we eat, so that we can eat, you know, raspberries all year round. So we get them from whatever countries that they're coming from. It's unnatural. We never used to live like that. So there's a lot of reasons why this is happening, but it's quite simple. It's the Western diet that is causing the ill health. And the problem that we've got is that the immune systems are being destroyed. So you are getting the high incidence of people that are contracting, you know, the latest new viruses, because they've got no immunity. And I'm very passionate about that as well, at trying to educate people as to how they can boost their own natural immunity. because it is said now, and I think even the you know, the establishment is recognizing the mm-hmm. fact that you've got a reduced natural immunity following injections.
Yes.
So, you know, that is very scary, because what that means is that people won't be able to fight other natural bacteria and viruses that come along. So it's very important that people understand how they can boost their own immunity.
And again, there are steps, I suppose, that we can all do to take ownership of that. Give me
it
an
is
insight
that, yeah.
into
it is taking
how important
ownership.
Preparation of food is within this.
Well, in the 30-day program that I coach people on, I take them through a journey, really, for 30 days, which mm-hmm. at the end of it, they've been educated as to what they were doing wrong before. So they might have thought that they were eating clean, mm. that they were eating, you know, good food. But they then recognized the fact that they had, you know, naughty habits creeping in that, you know, start to really take over. And I'm not talking about the Christmas period because
sure.
obviously, you know, that is a nightmare time, isn't it, for everybody?
True that.
But it's about realizing that, you know, what you're eating impacts in so many different ways. And it could be mood, it could be
yes.
fatigue, could be brain fog. All of these things, they encroach slowly upon us. So once you start to eliminate them in the first 4 or 5 days,
yes.
you will, you know, you will see a big difference in clarity of mind and the brain fog. So It's very illuminating, mm. and you can go on and do it on an 80-20 basis. And
gotcha.
It just means that you're going to think twice before you eat, you know, whatever it is you're used to eating. Like, I'm talking about the most basic things of, like, the highly processed foods, which
yeah.
are anything that's white. If it's white, don't bother with it, because it's been processed to death,
yes.
you know. It's got nothing left in it. So the white flour that we eat, this is why so many people have got problems with gluten, because it's hybridated and it's grown in GMO conditions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's not got the nutrients that it had. And also the protein is different. So we haven't
yes.
got the protease to break it down. And that's the same in the dairy industry. It's all been completely genetically modified, and our bodies, a lot of us can't process that protein. So it's quite straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually that complicated.
And the life-changing elements of this must be really quite profound. We're going to build on that and learn more about these
yeah.
various programs that you work people through and the revelations I'm sure you've helped people achieve. But just bringing it back briefly to koi sports, how did you learn about koi sports? How did you get involved, Bev?
I honestly don't remember how I met David. It must have been at some kind of network event.
Sure.
But it just completely escapes me how I met him. And I actually joined Koi Sports in, I think it was April.
Right.
March or April of last year. So coming up for about a year. And unfortunately, we've not had many opportunities to actually meet physically.
Yeah.
But we did meet once at a pre-arranged event at the Holiday Express,
yes.
I think it was, you know, near Filbert Street. But I was just blown away, really, by the concept of it, because Arbonne is a fantastic community of people.
Yes.
So we have we're in 6 countries,
mm-hmm.
so we have a community of really like-minded people, which over COVID as well as and the lockdowns has been, you know, invaluable to most people, and I think it's made us all realise just how lucky we are to have this community. And so Koi Sports I saw as being the same.
Mm-hmm.
kind of community. And I think there is a growing shift anyway
yes.
in people that, you know, they're less, we talk about greed, but they're less, I think they're less greedy. They're more prepared to put other people first.
Mm.
There is more awareness of simple things that you can do
yep.
to improve your own life and that of others, just like gratitudes.
Mm.
affirmations,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of the things that we do within Arbonne is I see now is coming out into the mainstream. And the community spirit that you get within
yes.
any kind of sporting organization is incredible, isn't it? And those are the kind of people that I feel are very empathic.
Yes.
And they, you know, they really feel for other people, and they've got great emotions. And I just saw fantastic value there, in terms of human empathy and the human desire to help other people as well. So it just felt to me like it was what I'd been looking for.
Yes.
Because I'd reached the point where I'd networked for about 4 years probably.
Right.
In an effort to sort of get to know people and get out there and mingle and do something positive. But I didn't feel like I was particularly doing anything in the networking field that was actually benefiting anybody else. It was like you meet somebody, you get to know them, they get to know you. It's a process, and everybody's there to sell or do whatever because they've got a business to run, you know, which is logical. But at the same time, I much prefer to do things that are a little bit out the box in terms that there is a quote, and I think it's Jim Rohn. If you help enough people to get what they want, by default, you will be successful. And I realized that I'd probably done that most of my life.
That's beautiful.
And I really prefer to live my life like that, especially now, you know, because I'm so much older. And I don't want to be spending my life running around just trying to make a book. You know, I don't want to do that anymore. I did that for donkey's years, trying to make ends meet, because I had a business for 28 years in costume jewelry manufacturing. So I've got lots of business experience. And you kind of, you know, through that experience, you kind of come out the other end and you see what's really important in life. So I reached that point. So Koi Sports walked into my life at just the perfect time.
Don't you just love it when a plan comes together? I love it when the universe seems to work along those lines. Yeah. And it definitely feels as though you have got your focus in on very, very positive, purposeful ways to operate. And we all here at Koi Sports are delighted to have you involved. You will be making a massive difference. And I know that's going to be helping out the amazing Chris Lomas, based in Moldova, challenging child trafficking and all manner of other things, poverty.
Yeah.
He's an absolute force of nature himself. What was it, Bev, that inspired you to offer the team at Reach My Street and Chris Lomas a tell the support?
It's a very, very big story, Tony. A massive one. However, I won't go into the itty-gritty of it. But what I will say is that, again, the universe put me in that place at the exact right moment. Because many, many years ago, and I'm talking about, it's got to be 15 years ago.
Right.
I realised that there was over 250,000 children going missing in the UK every year. And I questioned it, and I just couldn't believe it, right? Mm. And I used to say to my kids, looking out, because we're fortunate enough to look out over fields.
Yes.
And I'd be there, you know, washing up or cooking or whatever, and I'd be thinking, like, how can there be that many children? Where do they go? Mm. And I used to say to my kids, like, you imagine filling these three fields with kids. Like, that wouldn't be 250,000 children. It was, like, horrific. And I've never been able to deal with that. Mm. I've always found it really difficult. So I've tried to sort of, like, in a small way, you know, sponsor anything that has anything to do with kids. Mm. So I do support Me and D charity, which is a Derbyshire charity, which is, it raises money for children in life-threatening situations or their families, you know, where they can have a holiday. Used to be in a caravan in Norfolk. Towards the end of their lives, or that, you know, that might be their father's lives or whatever. So just time to give those families some precious memories in the last days. So I've helped with that, and then helped a little bit also with building a log cabin, which is towards Sherwood Forest, which is Maria's latest project. So I donate to the NSPCC as well. Mm-hmm. But in the last 2 years, I've understood the problem. And the problem globally is 1.8 million children.
Yeah.
And there are reasons for it, which I'm not going to go into here. But Chris, when I met or saw what the work that he was doing, I was like just blown away, full of admiration, that he was actually out there on the street doing the do and actually doing something physically to help these families.
Absolutely.
Because the poverty in Moldova is just horrendous. So, of course, these kids are in a position within this people trafficking network. Yes. To be taken from their families because the families are experiencing hardship, and they're literally taken from the families and they're pumped into the trafficking business. Mm. And so it was just horrendous. And I was just so grateful to meet somebody who was actually literally doing the work. And Moldova is such a dangerous place as well.
Yes.
You know, the sub-zero temperatures of like minus 35, you know, these kids haven't got shoes. I mean, it's just horrendous. There's no other way to put it. And that is, you know, it's that is typical of what is going on all over the world.
Mm.
So that's basically why I decided that, you know, that was something that really was close to my heart. And if I could do something. And so they have an initiative now where they're trying to get schools involved.
Yes.
So that schools in the UK and the USA can talk to kids in Moldova and strike up a relationship so that our children can be educated from the first off, you know, as to how lucky they are, how they can support this child. Maybe it's just, you know, chatting to them on Zoom or whatever. Mm. Thank God we've got some form of internet. Or maybe just sharing some, you know, so old clothes or whatever. So the money that I've donated along, I think as well, Vanessa from Tiger Law,
she has,
UK, she's also donated to the charity. So there's two football teams and they're going to be having all their kit so that they can, you know, get a proper team together and look after and bring in to their community the children so they're much less likely to wander and be taken away. But this, you know, he's told me a couple of really heartbreaking stories.
Yes.
Just about, you know, the children that are subjected to the vulnerable positions that they find themselves in. So, yeah, it's a huge, huge, massive problem. So if I can help enlighten people as to the extent of the problem, then, you know, that's what I'd like to do as well.
You're an absolute superstar. We really value that. And I know Chris does as well. As you rightly say, he's fighting the good fight, quite literally, in very challenging circumstances. And, you know, I know that will be a godsend to him and team. And also, just on a quick note to everybody listening, as a reminder as well, if you can donate as little as the cost of a cup of coffee, then the ability for Chris and team to do even greater work will be amplified. So just food for thought, and, you know, we'll be hearing from Chris a little bit later. But back to yourself now, Bev, and honestly, I'm blown away by your energy, your passion, you know, your sheer joie de vivre. Tell me a little bit more about the various programs, because we heard about the 30-day one, but is there an opportunity to kind of deep dive and go into maybe another level?
Yes, I just made some notes actually, because we've recently launched a 10-day, what we call Glow Up, kickstart basically. So for those people who are a bit reticent to go full in on the 30 days, because especially like given the lockdowns and everything, some people are saying like, you know, I can't give up all of these things. I can't give up caffeine. I can't give up alcohol. You know, so a 10-day challenge as such gets people... it gets people into the groove. So it gets them into, you know, feeling the vibe, which, you know, raises their vibration and makes them feel a lot better. So they've got instant, you know, energy. They can feel within 10 days that positive improvement in the way that they feel. So then they might be more likely to carry on and do the full 30 days. Then beyond that, what I came to realize was that some people found it very difficult to do the 30 days, mainly for reasons that are emotional.
Yep.
So a lot of people might eat the wrong foods because of emotional issues.
Mm.
But also a lot of it goes back to our childhood and what we actually, you know, what our experiences were in childhood. So I've tried to do some coaching with people to help me understand that side of it.
Mm.
Because I wanted to become a better coach. So I've developed a program that goes on for 90 days.
Okay.
So beyond the, so first of all, you've got to do the 30 days because otherwise you just can't understand the concept.
Yes.
And then beyond that, we start to look at mindset and, you know, what actually impacts you as a person, what your goals are, what your why, what your purpose is. Because if you can, you know, concentrate on yourself, put yourself first, self-care, then you're going to be much more able to cope with addressing your eating habits, you know, because you're going to want to feel better in all ways, not just physically, but also emotionally and mentally. And you know, once you've got those nutrients inside you, and I'll talk, say, specifically about vitamin B12 deficiency, that directly impacts people's mental state. And it can, if it's not addressed over years, it can actually, you know, be a serious mental health condition such as bipolar and even schizophrenia. So I actually attended a course at Loughborough University about 5 years ago on B12 deficiency, and it was huge, the problem. The levels are set too low. So there are millions and millions of people that are not addressing this because they're not receiving the B12 injections that they need, because they do need one every 2 weeks, not once a month, which is what the NHS will pay for.
Right.
That's if they're genetically unable to absorb B12. We've got products that even people who are genetically not able to absorb B12 can actually absorb.
Brilliant.
Which I just thought was incredible when I read that. Something as simple as that deficiency is going to make a big difference to people's mindset. So if you do the 30 days for the first 30 days, we then go on and look at all of the other things that, you know, emotionally and mentally carve out your day, basically, and help you to address what it is you want out of life. And, you know, how just simply doing a gratitude list, affirmations every day, so things like that. So we have a fantastic group within Arbonne beyond the 30 days, really, whereby if you join the auto ship and have the basic three products every month, which is your probiotics and prebiotics, which improves your gut health. Say you've got a choice. So it could be the energy drinks, which are from ginseng and guarana. They've got B6, B12 in them. And that replaces your sugary health, you know, like your booster drinks and all of those processed high sugar content drinks. And then maybe a protein shake, which is going to give you 20 grams of protein, 20 vitamins and minerals in each portion, each serving. So if you're having one of those a day as well, you're just inevitably going to be healthier, right? It's just no way you're not going to be. And so by doing that, you can join what we call the Be Well Club.
Okay.
And we have every day during the week is what's called the Miracle Morning.
Brilliant.
So it's a start to your day at 6:30 a.m. You join the group. It's all for free. And there are people in there every week that are running it. You do about 5 to 10 minutes of affirmations, 10 pages of reading a personal development book that you're reading at the time. What else do they do? They'll do like exercise, 5 to 10 minutes of you know, exercise. It could be jumping up and down, it could be dancing or whatever, getting your body going. And you know, you've got your herbal tea there, which is cleansing your liver and your kidney as soon as you get up. So it's encouraging your body to flush out all the toxins, which is what the 30 days is all about. And it's just a great hour and a good start to the day before maybe the kids get out of bed and you've got to do the school run. And then on a Sunday, there's a book club as well. So they, you know, talk about the various different personal development books. And I can honestly say that personal development in the last 6 years has changed my life beyond recognition. And I wish to goodness that I'd have known about this like 30 years ago. And so I would highly recommend that. It's a great community
that,
again.
By the sounds of it. It's a couple of things. Number one, there's a community to support, because these, sometimes when one endeavours to make these changes, and obviously lots of us have lovely thoughts and aspirations, Yeah. It can be very, very difficult when you take it on independently. But what I even love, I think even more, I think it's amplified by that support unity there, is that this is very much a lifestyle approach as opposed to sort of a fad fix, it seems to me.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair appraisal?
Absolutely, it is, yeah. Just the whole thing about Arbonne, I read years ago, and it's so true. It starts out with changing your skin, or changing your health or your, you know, gut health or whatever, but it turns into a lifestyle change completely. And it all sounds a bit fluffy and a bit markety, but it's not. It's totally true. You know, your whole life changes for the better, for the positive. So yes, it is a lifestyle change, and it's one that I don't really ever see anybody ever says, "Oh, I wish I'd never joined Arbonne." Well, it just doesn't happen. You know,
enrich and enhance so many people's lives, and you've fascinated me. I'm sure many people listening will want to be able to access this, learn more. Where can we gain information about the Arbonne, and you know, delve deep and maybe just dip our toes in initially and go from there?
Yeah, well, you can get in touch with me directly. Obviously, I've got lots of different pages on Facebook, Instagram, etc. Bev Sankey Healthy Living is facebook.com/Bev Sankey. That's one of the pages that I've got. I've got a group page on Facebook called hashtag Hello45 exclamation mark. And that was aimed at women over the age of 40, really. I should really change it from 45. Because I remembered myself when I reached 40, I thought, it's got to be more to life than this, you know. And I was so right. And it's a case of, like, you know, you just got to, you know, talk to other people.
Absolutely.
Talk to people who've had different experiences. And that is the benefit of social media, isn't it, if you keep it positive. So, yeah, they can get in touch that way. My email address is bevsankey@gmail.com. Website is bevsankey.com. Phone number, happy to give anybody on a DM. So, you know, you can get in touch through that. If you want to just shop for the products, you can go on to my name, which is beverlysankey.arbonne.com, and you can just register and as a preferred client, and that will give you 20 to 40% discount all year.
Can't
it's only £10
bad.
To join. And yeah, and there's so many benefits.
A whole plethora of ways to engage with you, Bev. Just hit us up with one or two of the most efficient means to just get engaged with yourself, feed from your wealth of knowledge, and learn more.
The most effective way is to join my WhatsApp group, because I've got one running at the moment, which is for the 30 days. And there are people at all sorts of different levels within there. You know, so you don't have to be, you know, great at cooking. You don't have to. You could, you know, you could be really struggling with how to cook, what to cook, what to buy. I give you all of that information. It's all for free. You just need to buy some of the supplements, which I might add are from Whole Foods. So the supplements are derived from Whole Foods. They're not synthetic. And they are designed to enable you to get off the processed food, the processed sugar, the carbs, and to eat clean, because the transition, you know, believe it or not, it is a little bit tricky, and you do need that support from, say, the protein shakes or from the energy drinks, or from the fiber, because the whole ethos behind it is to get rid of the toxins and to stop putting the toxins back into your body. So it's like the bathtub analogy. You know, you want to fill it with clean water and let the dirty water out, and that's kind of what we're doing. Because the toxins are stored in fat cells. So if you want to lose weight, by default, you will lose weight. So it's not a diet. We don't calorie count. In fact, we actively encourage calories, but they've got to be from the right foods. So with using the products, you can actually assist yourself in order to get off of those addictions as well. So we have a set that starts out called the Healthy Habits Set.
Right.
That's about £130, and that will give you enough to get started. The Glow Up set is actually on offer at the moment, and I think that's about the same. So you can find those sets on the website, beverlysankey.arbonne.com. It'll just go straight to the nutrition section. But if you actually want any help in terms of, you know, more information, like the PDF, you can get that from my website, which is bevsankey.com. So you can download the PDF. You can download a PDF about immunity and what foods to eat to boost your immunity. You can, you know, get pretty much a good idea from that. And then just make direct contact with me. There are wellbeing forms on there that you can fill in to say what your issues are. And I'm more than happy. I offer a 20-minute free conversation just to try and see if I can offer you some help. I've also just started potentially working with a lady who offers diagnostic testing as well.
Gotcha.
So she's going to be able to obviously, you know, advise. And anybody with any more complex difficulties and health issues, she can go, you know, much deeper into that on a one-to-one basis.
Once again, showing how important it is to make these important partnerships. And Bev, I really have appreciated your time. As a Koi Sport member, you are helping so many people, and it has been a joy to, quite frankly, be educated from you about certain approaches that I'm going to look to make adjustments in my own little world. But Bev, listen, it's been a joy. Thank you once again for your time just now.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
We've just heard from Koi Sports member Beverly Sankey, who is offering her support membership to Chris Lomas over at Hope for You. He is an amazing character to tell us all about his story. We are lucky now to hear from the man himself. Real honour to welcome to Koi Sports Podcasting Chris Lomas from Reach My Street, who is doing sensational work, really important work. I look back personally on my childhood with nothing but misty eyes and kind of miss those days. I think we assume, don't we, that childhood is those time where play and kind of growth and development are at the core. For sadly, all too many people, that is simply not the reality. To help shift that, though, to improve lives of so many people, it is a pleasure now to welcome Chris Lomas from Reach My Street. Chris, good evening. How do you do?
Good evening, Tony. I'm good, thank you, and thank you for that introduction. It's it conjures up so many emotions and so many thoughts and responses, but it's nice to be here.
It's a pleasure and an honour to be joined by you, truly it is. Look, like I say, for me, when I look back on my own personal childhood, it's just nothing but just joy, very privileged, and I never lose sight of that. But just give the context, please, of Reach My Street. What is your mission and what you've already achieved in a very short amount of time?
Thank you. So my wife and I moved to Moldova, which is Europe's poorest country, back in February. So we've been here just over 9 months. And the reality with Moldova is it's Europe's poorest country. And because of that poverty, it's suffering a chronic economic migration, which means it's actually experiencing depopulation. And what happens is anyone with any gift or talent is taking those gifts and talents out of the country, typically leaving children behind to either be brought up by aging grandparents or to be left into the system. And the shocking truth is that 95% of Moldova's orphans aren't actually orphans, they're abandoned children. And we're seeing situations where, if we just focus on the orphan side for a second, where we're seeing children growing up in the most inhumane circumstances and situations. For example, we came across twin sisters recently who were being brought up in a hole, and they would watch their mum prostitute herself on a daily basis until the authorities stepped in and rescued them. And we're coming across extremes. You know, I've gotten used to walking into people's houses and crying with the circumstances that are presenting themselves. So not only are we supporting orphans, but really impoverished families as well, who really struggle to make ends meet.
I mean, the tragic reality of that is that some of that context is almost forced upon. I think I was reading on your website that the average salary in Moldova is something like $230 a month. And I mean, you know, that's just crazy. So it is almost a case, like you say, if there is the skills or the talent to kind of move, they call it a brain drain, don't they? But, you know, this is just eye-opening and really, really tragic. generally. But of course, it is this festive period of time where most of us are getting a bit festive. I mean, goodness me, just give me a few more, experiences of what you've had to deal with and the progresses that you are making.
Yeah, and we're making progress, we know it gets chilly in the UK, right? And we complain if it gets, you know, 2-3 degrees below zero. In Moldova, they go a little bit further. When we arrived back in February, it was touching temperatures of minus 30. And the truth is, fuel is as expensive here as it is in the UK. And when you're earning upwards, I mean, people on $230, $250 a month are really amongst the higher paid people. I mean, we're now beginning to see that the average is actually much lower. It's around £150 per month, which is not sufficient, particularly when you consider that to heat the average home, they're burning through around £250 worth of fuel a month in minus 30 degrees. And most people's cooking is and their heating is all from the same fuel source. So they have these special walls that have got cookers built into it, and they have to put wood and coal into the furnace to heat everything, to eat, to live, to heat, you know, to heat their homes. It's all fuel from these places. And so as we go into the festive period, it's not so festive for a lot of people over here. A, because Christmas is a foreign concept, not in terms of, you know, they don't celebrate it, but they've got no reason to celebrate it because they can't provide the children with the toys and different things that, you know, we're accustomed to in the developed world. But it's a case of survival for most people. So why celebrate something when you're simply trying to survive? And we want to change these things. Yeah.
And are doing that. I mean, I think since 2019, when this kind of labor of love began there at Reach My Street, I think you've already been instrumental in creating and developing 50 homes. And I know that that's, you're looking to double that. Just give us a sense of the reward that that does provide and the genuine life improvements that you're already making.
So we support an organization that has built 50 homes. So we provide mentoring, we provide financial support, and we're only beginning to scratch the surface. So we're providing practical support to more than 50 homes now, and also to orphan crisis centers. We're working with a Moldovan entrepreneur who lives in the UK to look at building a vocational academy to take children who are aging out into vocational education to guarantee them a job at the end. We're also, so that means we're touching the lives of about 350 orphans. And the other thing that we haven't necessarily touched on yet is the fact that Moldova is the world's human trafficking capital of the world per capita. Yes, there's more people being trafficked from places like the US and China and India, but not as a percentage of the population. It's estimated that 10% of the population have been trafficked at some point. And we've got involved with that as well. We're setting up educational programs to highlight the dangers and to prevent people from becoming victims in the first place, which has also meant we've already closed down one human trafficking ring, which makes us incredibly unpopular. You know, we sometimes have to just make sure we're safe.
And, I was going to say, I can imagine some fairly unsavory characters are not exactly delighted that you are being this beacon of hope in this context. Once again, you know, I sometimes find myself, and I think it's human, getting a little bit, oh, this hasn't worked as I would have liked, or et cetera, et cetera. And we come now, and they are literally first world problems, aren't they? You know, we watch Hollywood movies like Taken, but I would imagine that that doesn't even come close to the reality that you're working with there.
Yeah, do you know, organized crime is a little bit more subtle than the movie Taken, which, out of curiosity, now with our new perspective, we actually watched that the other night. And Gangs are more subtle. What they do is they lure victims away for jobs that don't exist. So, and when you're coming from a poverty perspective, I was having a conversation with someone in Chisinau today, and they were explaining a situation where a beauty pageant was set up. And there's that's so cynical because you're appealing to a, particularly girls, you're appealing to a girl's identity and how they see themselves, and you're progressing them through a beauty pageant only to select the most beautiful girls, which you then traffic. And so the modus operandi is that they will advertise for jobs. And they will say that we need waitresses and waiters in places like Greece and Dubai and even the UK. And these young people who are struggling because of poverty apply for these jobs. They think they're successful. Of course, everyone's always successful. And what they do is they get them across borders and they take their passport off them. And we all know the story then. You know, some of these precious children are just subject to the most unimaginable conditions and circumstances. And so whilst we're not necessarily involved in the rescue of these precious children yet, we're all about preventing the crime from ever happening.
How endemic is that scenario? Because once again, we can't even begin, I don't think, truly to appreciate the pull of desperation. When one is desperate, you will do desperate things, and these alluring things must seem like opportunity knocking. It's absolutely heinous. Are these sort of nefarious groups who organize this, are they working to a degree in conjunction with government? Of course, that would never be overtly agreed. Or is it, as you say, a little bit more subtle than that? Just give me a sense of how endemic this situation is.
Well, Tony, you'll appreciate I have to be so careful what I say and what I see. The great thing for Moldova is Maia Sandu, the country's new president, it has a anti-corruption platform, which we're really excited about. We support. My wife and I are already on Moldovan TV. We have been offered our own business program because we're much about addressing the need, but also the opportunity. And there's an imbalance in NGOs sometimes where they're all about addressing one aspect, but not the other. And we're very much about doing both, using my skills as an entrepreneur, my wife's skills as a talented teacher. But it's definitely true of a lot of nations where, you know, these gangs carry such influence, particularly where there's historically perhaps a corrupt regime, that they will exploit that corruption, which I think is why Moldova has the unenviable title as the human trafficking capital of the world. But we want to change that. The government's doing their bit. We want to do our bit. We want to identify issues and then get the education in place to prevent people from becoming victims in the first place.
I truly salute you, and I love the fact that there you and your wife's twin diverse skills here are really working in unison for such an important mission, really.
We stand and fall on other people's willingness to get involved. And so, for example, there's an organization called Koi Sports who have been incredible. And we've enjoyed some phenomenal support, initially by an organization called Tiger Law, but also by a woman called Bev Zansky, who has been incredible. And we can't survive without remarkable people like this. Now I'm probably a bit naive when I say that we don't consider ourselves the heroes. We're the ones that facilitate other people's love and support. The real heroes to us are people like Koi Sports. You know, we're proud to be able to say that we're spending every single penny on the purpose for which it was given, because we take the fact that people are supporting us very, very seriously. And we always talk about the fact that they are entrusting their money to us to make a difference, and we are.
Absolutely making a critical difference. And I know Will continue to do that, and we are delighted here at Koi Sports to be associated with people like Vanessa, who are assisting as best as we can. But literally, every single penny will change lives. It feels 100%. Massively appropriate, Chris, to just give you an opportunity, please, to educate us all about how we can learn more about the awesome work you do at Reach My Street, and potentially offer a little bit of support down the road too. What's your best website?
So reachmystreet.com is our website, and on there it gives various different ways that individuals and corporations can get involved. You know, we have different sponsorship programs, and we just want people to get involved, and we want people to change lives. Our latest initiative is to invite schools to become pen pals. Brilliant. So where children from developed nations start writing to children from Moldova, orphans from Moldova, and then at some point in the future, we'll say to the parents, this wonderful child that your child has been writing to needs help. And we think that's going to be a really great way of raising awareness and funds.
Priceless. You cannot put a price on that. I think that's absolutely phenomenal. Another thing that really touched me, just doing a little bit of research into you guys, was the Reach My Street Kids Endeavor. And I think two young people in particular, Hudson and Madeline, I believe, are really proving key ambassadors, key players in the kind of 360 of what you guys are all about. Just give us an insight into that aspect of the Reach My Street project.
So yeah, RMS Kids was the brainchild of Hudson and Madeline, who happened to be my niece and nephew. They live in the States. My sister lives over there with her husband and Hudson and Madeline. And they were they became touched by what we were doing very early on. And they said to their mom, you know, we want to get involved. We want to. And they actually wrote a song. We're going to be releasing that song soon. They wrote a song and put it to music. My sister's a talented singer-songwriter. So they wrote a song and they performed it. And really, it was just to raise awareness. And so we're going to, I don't know how we're going to do it right now, but we're going to try and do a pay-per-view on that song, you know, just a nominal amount to see how much we can raise. And it's actually Hudson and Madeline School who are pioneering this pen pal scheme. So they're going to get all 95 of their children to write to 95 of our children as a way of just raising awareness and funds.
Just really heartwarming there. That's what it is all about. And again, every single penny of this phenomenal initiative here is genuinely saving lives. Obviously, we've spoken and it's focused in that kind of Moldova, sadly, known as the capital of child trafficking. Also, I think working with Romania too. But the issue is global, isn't it? I think, sadly, something like 5,700 people or children are orphaned daily. And as you said, Chris, it isn't necessarily a straight case of just tragically losing parents. Sometimes parents will, for needs-must scenarios, leave children. Again, the global context here is important for us not to lose sight of, I feel.
100%. I was actually a founding member of the Slave Free Alliance, which seeks to eradicate a modern day slavery from supply chain. And the Slave Free Alliance is run by an incredible organization called Hope for Justice. These guys are the ones that will be banging down doors and rescuing people. And we share the common goal. This isn't just a Moldovan issue. It's not just a Romanian issue. It's a worldwide issue. Right early on, I had someone reach out to me and say, this isn't my problem. Someone from the UK who will remain anonymous. And I said, how do you measure that? How do you figure that out? And they said, well, it's an Eastern European issue. And he's right in as much as a lot of the victims are Eastern European, but the reality is there's people in the UK living doors away from someone who has been trafficked. This isn't a far off issue. This is a local issue that affects every nation in the world, because the person you're going dropping the kids off at school. They could be, anyone could be under forced labor, and it takes various forms, as you've already said, Tony. So this isn't an Eastern European issue. It's not a Moldovan issue. It's not a Romanian issue. It's a worldwide issue. And if we've got a pulse, then we have a common objective to eradicate this heinous crime that is making individuals billionaires, and it's wrong and it's got to stop. And you can see that I get passionate about this stuff.
I value your passion, and I think honestly I can merely salute you. As you understand, you live and you breathe this. Sadly, there is no magic wand, is there, Chris? There is, this is going to be a huge challenge that I know you are living and know you're committed to. Just give me an idea, though, nevertheless, because I think you're also a man who understands the power of what is possible when people unite, energized behind an important mission. So give me an insight, please, into the vision. The vision, if we could get close to waving a magic wand.
Okay, so let me talk about Moldova for a second. It's a country of less than 3 million now, and the figure keeps dropping. That's a city in the UK. I believe we can change a city. I believe we can change a nation. There's that saying, isn't there, for evil to prevail, it takes a good man to do nothing. Well, there's a good man here, and there's a good woman in my life, and several people in this country that are willing to do something. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for others, and we want to express love and hope to an entire nation. We can do this with people's help.
Do you know, I just love, I've got a feeling it's a smarter man than me, Einstein, who was responsible for that fantastic quote there. Might be wrong on that. Don't quote me on that one. But nevertheless, I'm fascinated on this on a human level, because I love your mission and I feel your passion. And I know, like you've said, that this is basically transcending Chris Lomas and family. But loving the family is a family affair, this mission. Nevertheless, when you do witness improvements, Chris, it must be rewarding to appreciate that you are baby stepping and genuinely making ground changing differences here.
It has to, and I'll explain why. Because now we're covering different time zones. So we're 2 hours ahead of the UK, 7 hours ahead of Eastern America, we've got people in Australia. That means I'm now communicating across several time zones, which means I'm working on average, and this isn't a woe is me. There can be no woe is me. We're working around 16 hours a day on average. And you can't do that unless you're seeing results. And we're just about to launch an initiative where we're saying to sign off on your CSR program, send someone to Moldova. We'll put them up. We'll put them up for a week, but just come and walk in our shoes for a week and see the issues that we face and how, with support, we are changing lives on a daily basis. That is what motivation looks like. That is what gets us out of bed in the morning. That is what propels us through the most horrendous situations. That's what makes what we do worthwhile, because we're seeing it every single day. We're bringing hope. Do you know, we're not massively changing people's circumstances, we're giving them hope. And amazing. I tell you what, hope is one of the most dangerous things in the world, because you know, it's fascinating. Hope.
It was one of the things, the last thing that was kept in with Pandora's box when all the other evils of the world were unleashed metaphorically. Hope was contained, and I've always found that very suggestive.
Yeah, well, we're unleashing hope now. we're pulling hope, kicking and screaming out of that box, and we are just bringing hope to people who, before we met them, had no hope. And I tell you what, you see people's lives change. You see smiles on people's faces. Yes, their circumstances are still tragic, but when they have hope, they're smiling.
You've put a massive smile on my face, Chris. You've truly inspired me. Once again, please remind me, remind everybody listening of how we can learn more about the amazing work that you continue to do. Tell us the website, and just remind us of the best way to engage.
So it's reachmystreet.com. And if someone wants to reach out and say, I want to help, then we've got a dedicated email, help@reachmystreet.com. And we'd love to hear anyone. If you've got fundraising ideas, there's a small church, a tiny church in a place called Fleckney, who raised £1,000 doing an auction of secondhand goods from a tiny church. Anything's amazing. Possible. Anything's possible.
And just a reminder, once again, literally every single penny will go back out to helping and seriously unleashing hope and improving the circumstances of so many people. I want to remind everybody, me personally, I know that I've just been so honored and privileged beyond just desserts for the upbringing I've received. I know childhood, therefore, for me, is when I look back upon it with misty eyes and nothing but glee. Sadly, that is simply not the reality of all so many people. Chris, please, once again, tell us how we can engage with you and help you continue this crucial work.
So reachmystreet.com, you take your choice. There's child sponsorship, house sponsorship, corporate sponsorship, but whatever you give us will make a material difference in someone's life.
Absolutely tremendous. Honestly, Chris, I salute you. You've truly inspired me. Before I let you go, and honestly, I could talk to you forever in a day, is there anything else you'd like to address or just crystallize in our minds at all?
Just that the power is in the listener's hands right now. People often think because something's in a far-off country, they can't make a material difference. But whatever is entrusted to us puts smiles on faces, it puts food in people's bellies. It means that in sub-zero conditions, people have warmth. If ever there was a time and an opportunity to make your mark on a desperate nation, it's through Reach My Street.
Beautiful. And again, a big thank you. You do amazing things. I know you're going to continue
thank
doing
so
that.
Much.
To you and family, I salute you. I love the fact that, again, sort of nieces are involved, and I look forward to hearing their great work too. Yeah. Keep up the great work, Chris. I know
Tony,
you will.
Thank you.
Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC, or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members and, of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk. And be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.